Legal Matters with Peter. Peter, very good morning. Welcome to the show this morning.
Yes, morning, Wayne. Morning to our listeners out there. Always good to hear that we have so many that listen to us in the morning. Our chat today is going to be about drugs. I know we've chatted often in the past about it, but it's one that's very, very important and that needs special attention.
Indeed.
I mean, drugs destroy and ruin millions of lives every year. There's no doubt about that. And, you know, drugs, they say drugs arose in the mid-60s. And they blame music and mass media for the start of it. They invade all aspects of society. If you read many a book, that's what they say.
Yeah.
You know, they say that the U.S. did surveys on it. They did the drug national survey on drug use and health. And I think there were millions and millions of people that, you know, showed what it was that was causing problems. Illegal drugs were found to be the main cause. So, you know, I think almost everybody knows somebody that has been affected by drugs, be it directly or indirectly. I feel so sorry for parents where their kids have turned to drugs and they try everything, spend thousands and thousands of rands trying to break it, and they can't do that. And sadly as well, you know, if there are listeners out there, if you are someone that is what they call a druggie, make sure that you don't influence someone else. I mean, you know, they've legalized dacha in South Africa, and it's sad that, you know, almost anywhere that you go, you get that sweet smell of dacha in the air.
People these
days smoke it freely, don't feel anything about it. And my worry there is not the fact that that person is smoking it, because if the person is going to use dacha, let them use it. But certainly don't try and influence somebody. Don't pass your little zol, as they call it, on to someone else to have a puff, because you never know when that person is going to become addicted to it.
That's it.
I get so many people, just this last week, I heard people say, I'm not addicted to it. I smoke it once a week. You know, it has no influence on me. It gives me a little high, and I enjoy myself for the evening.
Yeah.
Lovely. Keep it to yourself, though. You know, that's all I say. Don't pass it to the person sitting next to you to say, have you tried it? Give it a try. Give it a puff. You know, it can ruin somebody.
Yeah.
I think the stats at one stage were 1 in 10 that are affected by dacha.
Yeah.
Anyway, you were saying?
No, I was just going to say, because that person next to you might have a more addictive personality. And, you know, dacha, and I mean, I think the whole dacha chat would be one for a whole different show, because, I mean, you hear people saying that dacha, for instance, is a gateway drug. It kind of starts there and then progresses to what you've alluded to.
Absolutely. There's no doubt about that. Dacha is a chat of its own. And indeed, it's definitely the gateway to drugs, the gateway to terrible sex parties and things like that, you know, that happen. It's factual. It's there. There's no getting away from it. But, you know, as well, the most common drug of all, of course, is alcohol.
Yeah.
You know, people don't realize that alcohol is a drug. Sadly, you know, you get high, there's no doubt. It affects your blood level. And alcohol-related motor accidents, alcohol-related gender-based violence incidents, change of personality in people and that sort of thing. And I think that in the survey that was done in the USA, if I'm not mistaken, it was the cause of teen death. Teenagers were dying from alcohol abuse. That was the highest count that they got out of there. So, you know, the most common one, of course, is alcohol, followed by dacha, marijuana. You know, it shows that most people abuse it, unfortunately. It's easily available. It's a tree that can grow in your backyard. And sadly, people are exposed to drugs a lot younger these days than in the older days, I suppose. You know, these days, the kids, high school students, drink alcohol. They feel freely. I mean, yeah, in our own, we have the tavern story that's been going on and on. We have the liquor board, the Eastern Cape Liquor Board, doing drives to prevent alcohol abuse all the time. We see parents going to have a drink at a pub, taking their child with and saying, oh, my child's allowed to drink, and they give a beer or two like that, you know. they don't realize the impact that it has. You know, you get these super moms that say, "Ah, I control my son's drinking."
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what you think. You know, let me tell you now that I know for a fact. I mean, I remember as a child when we lived in our street, we were allowed one beer. So we went to about 6 houses to get a beer from each dad. You know, we never told the dad at house number two that we'd had a beer at house number one type of thing. You know, so it's so easy to con people with drugs, with alcohol, with, you know, dacha and things like that. So, you know, it's 15 and 16-year-olds that are badly affected. And I think that age group is now dropped to 13 and 14-year-olds that are abusing, you know, drugs,
right.
Especially dacha, you know. And the countries around the world all have it. It's not something that's special to South Africa. You know, I think that, if I'm not mistaken, the Dutch, Denmark, Italy, Spain, you know, the state everywhere, you know, is there. And there's some really good books that you can read. There's one in particular that I always enjoy referring to, which is The Truth About Drugs.
Mm-hmm.
At drugfreeworld.org produced that. So if you want to look for it, you go onto the website to drugfreeworld.org. And interesting stories in there. You know, they took some pop-ups, and I'm reading one in my goal in life wasn't living. It was to get high.
Yeah.
You know, the guy says, over the years, I turned to cocaine, marijuana, and alcohol under the false belief that it would allow me to escape my problems, but it didn't. It just made things worse.
Created.
I kept saying to myself, I'm going to stop, but it never happened. You know, and then, you know, the people are honest about that. You get another person who says, I started with weed. Then I was introduced by my friends to ecstasy and acid pills, making cocktails of all sorts with drugs, even overdosing to make the rush last longer. And, you know, I couldn't walk in public places. I was always half, what do you call it, in the skies, he said. I couldn't walk in public places. I couldn't even drive, but I was driving, you know. And this guy says he ended up homeless on the streets, living and sleeping on a cardboard box, which we see so many of. I mean, you know, just in Debra Avenue, you know, where we are, every single corner has three or four of them sitting on the corner, living on the street, sadly, and one wonders whether it's drugs or what it is. You know, they don't know where their next meal is. They don't know where they're going to get anything. They don't work or anything like that. So what do you do to combat it? In my opinion, you know, what you need to do is that as a family, you need to talk about drugs. You need to talk about the abuse of alcohol. You need to talk about the abuse of stronger drugs. You need to talk about, you know, the abuse of sex as well in a home. Be free about sex. Don't, you know, prevent it from discussion with your children to say, oh, they're too young. Believe me, they're not too young. I think stats are showing that kids are starting as young as 10 years old these days, knowing what the body does and trying to use the body, which is bad. So I always, you know, thank my parents that they were open in our house. We're a big family. We're 6 children. But alcohol, sex, drugs, relationships and that type of thing was spoken about openly. You know, there was nothing hiding from my sisters or from my brothers about alcohol or things like that. You know, my dad and mom made sure that we knew what it was. And, you know, the kids give reasons for taking drugs. If you sit down with a child and say, why are you taking drugs? Why are you abusing alcohol? And I recall way back when we did some lectures with the South African police services at schools like Clarendon and Selborne and into the townships, you know, when we asked the children in the school, why do you do it? And they said, well, you know, my friends do it. So if I don't do it, then I'm, you know,
peer pressure.
I feel out. Peer pressure, you know. So I do it to fit in, to be with the gang and make sure that I'm also the same as them. People say they do it to relax. You don't need that to relax. I mean, you know, you've got your sport. You've got your social clubs. You've got all of that. Some people say they do it because we're bored at home. There's nothing for us to do at home. You know, we don't have TV or we don't have games. So, you know, the next thing is to get high, lie in my room and, you know, maybe dream about something that's happening and that type of thing. other people have said that they do it to grow up, to rebel. And of course, the worst of all is that so many children said to us, you know, we did it to experiment, to see what the feeling was like.
Yeah.
So that we could get that feeling of what it is. You know, that's important. I tried it just to see what happened. But there again, unfortunately, that little touch of trying something that you like, you know, ends up as a habit.
As a trigger.
Ends up as a problem. You know, and you go back to the three of them again, drugs and sex. They're not there to try. You know, we weren't put on earth to try drugs and to try sex and that type of thing. You know, they're two sacred things that you need to control and make sure that you're happy with. You know, my most important standpoint on it all is that drugs are not a solution to getting happiness, to sorting problems, you know, to wash away. You get parents that come along and say, I've been without work for 6 months. I can't take it anymore. At least if I get drunk, I don't worry about it. But that's wrong, because when you get drunk, you put yourself backwards for a couple of days. You know, you wake up with a hangover or whatever you want to, you know, say to, you know, I could have been out looking for work and that type of thing. People try. I understand that there's stress, don't get me wrong. You know, difficult as it is to face one's problems, that, you know, the consequences of drugs don't help.
Right.
They don't take away your problems. They definitely don't. They might wipe them out for 2 or 3 hours because you don't know where you are. You know, you're in a dwal, as the Afrikaans word says. You know, you're living in a fantasy world for a couple of hours. But, you know, the real answer, and I really mean it, is not to take drugs, you know, to help in society. If you see people doing it, walk away from it. You know, don't participate in it. And don't encourage others. As I say, my pet hate is when I go to a party or something and somebody pulls out a Zol and they start smoking and then they're passing it around. I mean, you know, I move away from that crowd. I don't appreciate it. I'm happy to say that I've never, ever tried it. I've dealt extensively with it as a criminal attorney. I specialized in Dhaka in the earlier days, and I saw what it did to people. It made them horrible. And the worst part of all is that the dealers themselves don't even smoke the stuff.
Yeah.
You know, they're just there to
facilitate,
to make sure they get a trade out. They want to sell it. That's what they want to do. They don't want to smoke it. I recall we had a drug dealer in a complex where I stayed, and he was the nicest guy ever, with two little kids that you couldn't believe how nice they were. And all he was interested in was making money. You know, I once chatted to him, and he said, but, you know, this is how I make a living. And I said, you know what, you make a living, and doesn't your conscience tell you that you're destroying other people?
Right.
You know, so you know, it's a sad thing. You know, how do drugs work? They stimulate, you know, and speeds up small amounts, actors, big amounts. Unfortunately, you take a puff and you get a little high, you take a few more puffs and, you know, it slows you down. Unfortunately, it's a sedative. Alcohol is a sedative. Dhaka and all the drugs and the pills and everything, they're all sedatives. All they're doing is retarding your mind. And that's proven. It's a proven fact. I mean, you know, you've seen it on programs like Carte Blanche, where, you know, they drank alcohol and they won a racetrack and they drove vehicles and you saw how they were impaired. You know, people said, it doesn't affect me.
Yeah.
And that's what everybody says. You know, people say, you know, I when I've had something to drink, I drive home so slowly. But, you know, it's not driving home slowly that's going to cause the accident, because if somebody's coming at a speed and swerves at you or something like that, your reactions
are not
there.
Respond.
You know, your vision is impaired, your reactions are impaired, and you know, any drug causes that. So, you know, the drugs have a liability, in fact, in my eyes. You know, they make you, they put you into a situation that you would not be in if you were not participating in drugs.
Right.
You know, so, and there are just so many drugs. I mean, medicines, for example, you get people that are addicted to cough mixtures. You get people addicted to headache pills. You get, I mean, the famous one is the powder. I'm not going to mention its name because I think we shouldn't. But you see people opening these little white packets And I just look at them and I say, what are you doing? You know, they're downing two or three of them in like an hour.
Yeah, yeah.
And you say, what are you doing? Oh, no, I've got a headache. There's no headache over there. You're giving yourself a headache because you're
addicted.
You become addicted to this stuff. Yeah. And it's basically a drug. And, you know, the funniest thing of all is that if you talk to somebody that's on drugs and you say, you know, don't you realize that you're slurring? Don't you realize that you're talking slowly? Don't you realize that your mind is floating a little bit? And the person say, don't talk nonsense, man. I remember everything clearly. But they don't. There's no doubt about it. You know, the medical facts have shown that the mind is slower, that the information doesn't get through the cloudy mess that you've got because you're in that little floating situation. You know, the bottom line is that drugs make you feel slow or stupid.
Yeah, yeah.
And cause you to have failures. Your reactions are not good. You know, life gets harder. The more you take drugs, the harder life gets because, you know, you're now reliant on it. I mean, how many people are now smoking weed in the business situation, you know, at work and things like that? And you see so many reports on it, you know, cutting out that to try and help and that type of thing. And of course, the biggest lie about drugs is that they help you to become more creative. I've heard of artists say, oh, when I'm high, I can draw things.
Yeah, right.
You know, artwork is much better. You know, it's actually not like that. You don't realize it. You're probably a great artist with a more steady hand with no drugs in you. But on the other hand, drugs don't give you a feeling of happiness. I mean, you see people get stupid, and the funniest is that they start giggling and laughing and don't realize that they're doing that, you know, making a fool of themselves. I mean, often you'll go somewhere and you can see somebody that's gone outside and taken a sob or something like that, or a bit of ecstasy or something like that, and they come back and they're laughing and they're loud, whereas they were quiet beforehand. And invariably as well, it makes you feel sleepy. So the emotional plunge is much lower and slower and doesn't help, you know. It destroys your body. It really does. And it's sad to see.
Yeah, yeah.
And of course, you know, I always say the parents, I feel so sorry for parents where their kids have played with drugs. I mean, you know, it's a matter of going to play with your friend and you've got a little bit of dacha or you've got a bit of ecstasy or cocaine or whatever you want to call it, and he tempts you to participate in it, and you do just that. And you can see the groups. I mean, you know, we've been through schooling. If you look at the school grounds and that type of thing, you'll see the sportsmen amongst the kids and that type of thing. You'll see the social ones that are genuine because they'll sit together, break, and they'll do their things together. You'll see the crowd that are sporty. They'll be playing soccer or rugby or cricket or tennis or whatever on the field. And then you'll see the group that are into the bad stuff. They'll be hiding around the corner, behind the change room, in the toilet and places like that. I mean, I recall at school, I mean, you know, breakdown, and we were fortunate that our school allowed you to smoke if your parents gave you permission instead of 9 and 10. So it made a huge difference. I mean, the brothers at De La Salle saw the need to legalize it rather than to have these, the guys who duck under the swimming pool at De La Salle, the today Port Rex, underneath the swimming pool, way back into the corner to go and smoke. I mean, it was childish. Never heard the bell go after break and things like that. They were always late. Where you been? Oh, no, we've been to the shop. Meantime, you haven't been to the shop. You've been stuck under the swimming pool smoking and things like that. You know, they used to think the brothers were stupid. They used to smoke in the toilet, and the smoke was so full in there, when you walked in there, you couldn't see where you were going in those big toilets. And then when the brothers walked in, nobody's been smoking in there, you know, thinking people were stupid.
Yes.
But, it's there. It's serious. And like I say, it's worthwhile reading books on drugs. There's some fantastic books. There's some local policeman and when I say we talk about Dhaka, I'm going to get him. I think years ago we had the guy that spoke with us on the radio. I'm going to see if I can organize him. I know he's still involved He's a minister in the church now, and I must get him back and have a chat on DACA only, and he'll tell us the facts about it. I mean, you know, the different drugs are there. There's marijuana, there's alcohol, there's ecstasy, there's cocaine, there's crystal meth, which has become so big.
Yeah, and all these other ones.
LSD. It's scary. And I mean, you know, drugs don't have schedules for no reason. You know, if you take a high scheduled drug and you take one or two of them, you're going to be on a high, you know. And it's amazing the street names that there are for it. You know, a lot of parents are stupid. You know, I remember with DACA, I'm sure you'll name plenty as well, Wayne, but it was weed, it was brass, it was pot, it was Mary Jane, it was haze, purple haze, I think they called it.
I remember one like
it was dope. You know, it was like different names that came, and you had parents that didn't know what they were talking about. Mm-hmm. I mean, Purple Haze was a song, and everybody thought, you know, we're going to do Purple Haze tonight. And the parents used to think, they're going to sing the song for the band.
Or they're going to dance or whatever.
I think they were a local band, Purple Haze, here in East London. And meantime, the people were talking about getting drugs, you know, going down to find their drugs and that type of thing.
Yes.
So, you know, drugs are really, you know, the short-term effects, which is your loss of coordination and distortions in the sense of time, vision and hearing, sleepiness. Unfortunately, reading of the eyes is something you can't do away with. Increased appetite, relaxed muscles, sex drive, you know, those are the type of things that are there. And, of course, it affects your health as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your heart rate and that type of thing can increase. Not everybody's does, but it's a problem as well from a health point of view.
And
drugs cause anxiety and things like that. And, of course, the long-term problem is the psychotic symptoms that come with it. You know, people have to see psychiatrists. People have to get lessons and well, not lessons, but talking and things like that. You know, and it's very sad. I mean, you know, you can see the people that are sniffing because they sniff all the time. They don't realize that they've got that permanent sniff. If you know, if they're permanently onto it. And I mean, I always sit and laugh and sit in a pub and you see somebody go to the toilet, two or three of them, and when they come out, they're on a high.
Yeah, you can see a very different sort of way about
it. Very different person comes out of the toilet or out around the corner where they've gone sniffing. It's quite frightening.
Yeah.
And you see it with youngsters. I mean, you know, you see them delivering stuff and things like that. It's everywhere. There's nothing that we can do about it. It's wherever you look.
I think it's just to create awareness and be aware and keep a lookout. But Peter,
you think you're the main person. Yeah.
Obviously, a topic that we can chat about because it's kind of so on our doorstep.
I'm going to chat next week on it as well because you know the notes that I've got, you know, on the different ones. We can go through the different ones next week. Let's make a session two on drugs next week. You know, that was an introduction this week, and next week we can talk more specifically about, you know, the different ones and the effects that they have.
And what to look out for.
As I say. Yeah.
And Peter, if somebody is maybe wanting advice or wanting contact details, can they get in touch with you at Alums?
Yes, they can get in touch with us. We're situated at 6 Sansom Road in Berea, the little side street where Pep Stores is, number 6. Telephone 043-721-018. And they can look us up on Facebook. Just add a S to our surname, Allams, Alums, and you'll find all our details there. And invariably, you'll find the chats on there as well.
Great stuff. Peter, thank you very, very much. Thanks, Have a great week. And we'll chat again next week, Monday.
Thanks, Ryan.
Thanks, Peter. That's